Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Hello, and welcome to Women in WP. Today's episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, a professional form building plugin for WordPress. I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Apps.
And our guest today is Katie Richards, joining us from Western Michigan. She's a community coordinator at Pantheon, running their customer advocacy program. Welcome, Katie.
Thanks so much for having me, Amy and Tracy.
So we like to start off each episode asking our guest how you got started in WordPress.
I like to say that my journey into WordPress started backwards or opposite of most folks. My spouse has been really involved in WordPress since before we were married, and we've been married for 13 years, so it's been a while. And around the time that I was looking at leaving my job in a local nonprofit, he said, you know, if you're going to be home, you should at least join Twitter. Just join Twitter and have people to talk to. I'm like, okay, well, I'll do that. And then Twitter kept recommending that I follow WordPress developers, which I thought was hilarious because I knew nothing about WordPress and I'm not a very technically oriented person. I went to school for Spanish. And as a joke, he would tweet at people and say, hey, you should follow my wife. She's really fun. And so we just ended up, I just ended up making friends with people in the WordPress community first. So my journey into WordPress starts with people in the community. And I started actually contributing last year in 2020. So it's been, you know, 10 years of being involved in WordPress and only very slightly in the actual WordPress project.
So you're involved in the community, but less involved in actual WordPress.
I am not a coder. I am not a developer. I'm not a designer. I am not a project manager. I don't do translation. So it's been an interesting journey to find out how someone without those skills can get involved in the WordPress project. But there's places, there are things you can do.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we've seen as a recurring theme here is that, yeah, people are like, oh, well, I just do this. Well, I mean, the whole WordPress ecosystem would just like fade into the ether if we didn't have that community aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Because then it would just be another another tech program, which would come and go as technology changes. So I think really that the lasting effect of everything is that community. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you get to your position where you are now?
Well, like many jobs within the WordPress space, it started off by knowing someone who had a need that I could fill. I was a stay-at-home mom for a while. I'm not going to say just a stay-at-home mom because that's not just anything. Raising yes. humans who are quality humans is an incredibly important job.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So I was a stay-at-home mom for a few years. I had spent a decade of my life working as an office assistant in a nonprofit space mostly. And I was not bored, but I needed something else to use different skills in my life and different part of my brain than household management. So I was chatting with Brian Krogsgaard, who was had just started PostStatus at that point. And he said, you know, I really could use a hand. I need an assistant to help me get things in order, keep me on task. I was like, I can do that. I am a professional nagger. I can make that happen. And so I joined PostStatus in 2015. And I was with him at PostStatus for about 4 years, really getting to know people within the WordPress community, learning a lot myself about how the ins and outs of how the community works, how different companies relate to each other, how open source as a concept is incredibly different from most commercial businesses who are constantly keeping trade secrets and trying to protect their intellectual property, whereas WordPress and now my experience with Drupal as well are much more open just because we win when we work together. And I was approached by a friend who was working for Pantheon at the time saying, hey, we're starting up a community program to really focus on our users and also how our users interact with WordPress and Drupal. Are you interested in applying? I was like, no, it seems like a lot. It's a big life change. I wasn't planning on working more than, 10 hours a week. And I had, at that point, three little kids. And she encouraged me to try anyway, and I did. And here I am 2.5 years later with significantly more marketing experience and community building experience. And I'm really, really enjoying it.
Awesome. So can you tell us more, a little bit more about what you're doing as part of your community coordinator position?
Yeah. So we have our general community, which is a couple different platforms. We use Slack, we use a discourse forum to both connect our users to our internal teams and our internal teams to our users. But I was hired to focus on our customer advocacy program, the Pantheon Heroes. And our heroes are our most dedicated, loyal customers that have like the longest relationship with the company, that are talking at events about, how to use this specific Pantheon tool. Like, we really should have a way to support you better in those situations. So the program started in early 2019, and I started at Pantheon in kind of mid-year that year. And so ever since then, I've been working on kind of building those relationships with our heroes, finding ways for them to give feedback to the company and to our product teams as they start rolling out new ideas, and figuring out different ways that Pantheon can get involved in their companies and their, I guess, extracurricular open source activities as well.
I think that's like, I love that, because you technically are working almost like as like a, you're that in for that like UX research. So as mm-hmm. a UX, from my viewpoint, where I'm like, oh, that user, like having that close connection and relationship with that customer, with that user, just makes, it's one of those things where companies don't want to invest in these things because they're long term, kind of marketing, not just like here's mm-hmm. an ad and just get a bunch of people to sign up for stuff. But that's like, from being self-employed, those are my my favorite and what keeps me in business.
Exactly. We've recently started having some of our advocates come to our internal marketing team meetings as guests to talk about their journey with Pantheon, how they use the tools, what problems we solve for them. Our heroes are usually one of the first stops when our UX team has another round of surveys to go out. Like, do you have any people that would be a really good fit for this specific? I'm like, we're looking for non-developers who've been using Pantheon for this long and this. I'm like, I got like four I can give you. Consistently show up, and they're absolutely fabulous people who make my job really easy, because who doesn't want to work with awesome people every day?
Exactly. That's awesome. I love that. How has your the community aspect of things been affected by the world being on fire in a global pandemic?
Oh, the dumpster fire that's been the last 18 months.
And it's not ending anytime soon.
No, it's not. Pantheon has been incredibly supportive of staff as we kind of figure out what our lives are in response to the pandemic and how our jobs need to change. Especially I am part of the community team within the developer advocacy team at Pantheon. And our job is to build bridges between folks in the community and our product. But when you're not seeing folks in the community face to face as often, it's much more difficult to do that. So we're really supported in trying new things and being agile and changing direction and gathering what data we can and moving forward. We've been doing a lot more virtual events with our, especially with our advocates, because that's where I spend most of my time. We're doing an escape room in December together as a team, which I'm really excited about that. We did Meet the Animals tour from the San Diego Zoo in the spring. We got to meet a sloth, which was like professional highlight for me. So things like that, where we connect both as professionals, but also as people.
I love that.
I'm just going to interject, this is unrelated to WordPress, but have you seen that video of Kristen Bell when the sloth is coming to her house? Oh my gosh. No. I'm going to put a link in the show notes if you haven't seen it. It's just a goddamn delight about how excited and, you know, emotional she is about a sloth. Back to WordPress.
Watching people's faces as the sloth like came into view in the screen. Everyone's like, little kids at Christmas seeing Santa. It was the most exciting thing we could have possibly imagined.
I could,
and that was all virtual.
That was virtual. There are so many options for ways to connect to with people online that never existed before the pandemic. I'm really of all of the silver linings for the pandemic, really grateful for innovation in that area. Being able to do like remote movie nights with friends who live across the country and being able to start up a movie through, I think both Netflix and Disney Plus offer this, that where you can synchronize, watch something together.
Like View Party or something.
Exactly. Even though life has felt a little bit more restricted over the last 18 months, there are so many new things that we've been able to try and experiment with. And it's been, that part has been fun.
That's kind of, I do love that, how the digital and the virtual has kind of, I mean, opened that door to, because I have a lot of friends like that are not local. So having that, even just like having a Zoom meeting open and do something at the same time is just comforting. But absolutely, really cool that that kind of break down barriers and that you found ways to use that.
Yeah, I have been really, I've got a lot of virtual event burnout, and I am really, really missing the in-person events. And, you know, at this point, I don't even know if we're, you know, when we'll be able to have them again. You know, I was hoping maybe 2022, but it certainly doesn't look that way.
Yeah. It's interesting being in two open source communities at the same time, and seeing how WordPress runs events versus how Drupal runs events, and what the requirements are. And I mean, Drupal's planning a large scale event in 2022, which was a surprise to me.
Well, WordCamp Europe is back on the schedule for 2022. Yeah. I can't go because my airline credits from the last WordCamp Europe expire in April. So we're going in March, because Portugal is the most vaccinated country in the world right now.
I love that. I know. I keep joking at home about moving to Portugal. Like, we could do it.
Yeah.
I know Spanish, which is similar enough to Portuguese that I think we could pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
So I have to go before the WordCamp Europe to use my credits. So I don't think we're going to actually go back for the conference, but they are, you know, at this point they're planning it in person, which, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like in June. Is it in June?
Yeah.
It's in June. I would really like WordCamp US to come back. That's the one I really miss the most, where I got to see all of my people. But I don't like the virtual. It's not the same for me.
It's true.
Yeah. And how WordPress has done virtual events has been very different from how Drupal has done virtual events. And the focus
I'm really curious of like the differences, because I dabbled in Drupal years and years ago, and I had a not great experience with it, but also I'm sure it's changed quite a bit. But I'm very curious how that, I've been so in ingrained in the WordPress community and what kind of differences and, you know, that like the Drupal community versus the WordPress community.
There's some things that surprised me when I started attending Drupal events, the planning is so much less centralized and they don't have global sponsorships. So my very first event that I went to, I taught a workshop at DrupalCorn in Des Moines, Iowa. Which is a fantastic name, but they really were chatting with one of the organizers about this, and they were really limited in where they could, they had to book a venue for the event before they could actually schedule and plan the event to make sure that they had a location, but they could only book based on how much they had left in their bank account from their last event, which was like $200. Like, how does the difference between WordPress and Drupal supporting smaller events and things like that change? And I know that that's one thing that Drupal has done a lot of innovation on over time. So that was a couple of years ago already. So I know things are different now. Drupal, I absolutely adore their methods for crediting contribution for non-code contributions. They've got a really robust like community initiative process. So we've got a community project on Drupal.org for our program. So if we're coordinating open source contributions for our advocates, we can give them Drupal credit essentially for those contributions without it being through an official Drupal core team. And that could be teaching trainings. Our advocates have started stepping in, doing trainings on our products, but also like intro to Drupal and showing up at events for us and things like that. And it's absolutely wonderful to be able to give them that professional, I guess, panache that they've been out there doing these things and they have a way to show that.
I love that. Because that's one of my complaints about with just the WordPress community, and it's more or less, I think it's almost like more of a conditioned attitude of like, oh well, I don't develop, or I attend things, I'm not really a part of the community, or I don't feel like as big of a part of a community and as someone that writes some code that goes into the software, which is absolutely not the case.
So we said earlier, like there's that. A lot more to WordPress in the community than just code. Exactly. And I think this is a shift that WordPress has been making over the last year or two, especially focusing on mentoring folks who don't have that technical background into different ways that they can contribute. I started working with the WP Diversity speaker diversity group a little over a year ago, or almost a year ago. And I did that because someone said, hey, this would be a really good thing for you. And they needed help reading through the AI transcripts from some other workshops and updating them to be actually human readable. It's like, I like editing things. I can do that. And now I've been involved for almost a year. Our team at Pantheon almost a year ago, created an event over the month of December called The Gift of Open Source. And it's really a month-long initiative to encourage and teach folks how to contribute and give them resources to do that contribution through the end of the year. And so through that, we had a bunch of workshops on beginner contributions for both WordPress and Drupal, and where you can look at for non-code contributions. And if you're not familiar with GitHub, then here's how you would navigate GitHub and checking out open issues and submitting patches and all of that. So that was an incredibly eye-opening experience for me on the organizing side of it. Just, I learned so much. I've learned so much on the job. It's great.
Hey, Women in WP listeners, this is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
I love that because what I've actually done talks about this because we talk about, oh, open source, that means everyone can contribute. No, not everyone can contribute because not everyone knows how to contribute. So that mentoring and that that like how we can you know intentionally bringing more people into like your skills are needed and here's a mentor, here's how to do this thing, like that's so key to have this software this platform last and be mm-hmm. you know inclusive and you know like really serving the needs of the world. So yeah. I think that's really amazing.
We were really excited about that program last year and we're gearing up to run it again this December. And I cannot wait to hear about, we got to hear so many fun stories of, I have my name in WordPress release credits for the first time because of this event. Like, yes, this is why we do what we do. This makes us excited to come to work.
I love it.
Me
that's
too.
So great. So and you said you diversity or inclusive. What was the organization that you're working with? With WordPress
I'm stuff? Working with Jill Binder's team and the WP Speaker Diversity Group.
That's nice. So what is that? Is that finding and mentoring people for speakers or?
Yes, there are. I'm hoping I can represent this clearly. There are three main components for the team. Training for people who run events and meetups to educate them on diversifying attendance and speakers at their events. Training for speakers themselves who come from underrepresented communities who don't feel qualified to speak, but are eminently qualified to speak at an event. Mm-hmm. So working, helping them work through how to write a talk proposal, how to put a slide deck together, those kinds of things. And then a third component that was started this year was a Slack group on the WordPress Slack to help connect folks who've completed the speaker training to speaking opportunities. I spend a lot of time, one of the things I do every week for work is writing a newsletter for our advocates to say, you know, this is what's going on within the company, this is what's going on within events, this is where you might see us at events. Also, these are a bunch of events who have open calls for speakers. Like, please apply to all of these. And I can't catch all of them and I try, but keeping my ear to the ground essentially and hearing where speakers are needed and being able to share that with that group has been wonderful.
Nice.
So we don't have a lot of people on that are like deep within both WordPress and Drupal. So can you tell us like what you notice like in the, what's the Drupal community like compared to like the WordPress community? Because I always feel like WordPress is like, you know, this huge group of people and we all love each other and blah, 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 blah.
The hippies of the tech world.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's like, does Drupal even have a community? I wasn't aware. Tell us more.
Yeah. Oh, they're really similar. It's really similar experience. We care about very similar things. We're looking at future technologies very similarly. Like headless is a big push in both sides. So there's just a really strong thread of conversation across the board. I spent my first hour or so of my morning today watching part of the Dries note from DrupalCon Europe from last year last week that I missed because it was in Europe and I was asleep. But thinking through the future of or hearing Dries speak about the founder of Drupal speak about where the project is headed, similarly to the State of the Word. And it's saying very similar things that you would hear in the State of the Word, like diversifying contribution is absolutely essential to the life of the project. The more perspectives that we have, the better our project will be. The more invested that people will be in the project, the more vested they will feel in the outcome and longevity of Drupal. Yes, those are all things that we've talked about on both sides.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, when I'm teaching WordPress I'm teaching some online courses through universities, and it's not even stressed very much in the curriculum. So I make sure to put in that extra stress of like this community, like this is amazing. Like you can, you know, people want to share what they're doing. People want to include more people. People want to like teach you and bring you into the fold. We want all these, we want people, we want you to go to these, like go to an event and meet people, mm-hmm. go to an event and speak at something that you're passionate about, like all of those things. You don't really see, or it's not stereotypically thought about in like a tech world. So yeah. You know, gather around the campfire, and like I love that. I love that. Yeah. So, but you know, people that are outside of the tech community and they just see tech as like this, I don't know, stereotypical. What was the? There was like a show like Silicon Valley or something like mm-hmm. that. Yeah, like that's what they think of.
And there are parts of it that are that way.
Yeah, exactly. But that's usually like startup world.
That's weird to be in straddling that line between startup world and open source world. But it's a nice blend of both.
So before the pandemic, I know you are doing speaking now, but were you speaking at WordCamps, things like that?
I was not. I am not a public speaker. I've always claimed that my spouse has taken all of those skills away from me. He's gotten all of that in the family, and that's fine. I don't necessarily, I've always been more of a background supportive person than upfront on stage person. And I think being able to give virtual presentations has been a really lovely way to ease my way into public speaking. I haven't done any public speaking in any capacity since I think like debate in high school. So it's been a while. But being able to work on those skills comfortably from my own environment at home with a team full of people who are in my corner, got my back, are giving me, slide deck resources to create slide decks, who are helping me practice, giving me my talk. I can send a DM to anybody on my team and say, hey, I'm giving this presentation. I would love a second pair of eyes on this. And I have done it before, and I've had coworkers just drop things and jump on that. So I don't think that it's hard to separate my experience working at Pantheon and the pandemic, because it's been, 18 months of the 2.5 years that I've been there. But without those two things together, I don't think I ever would have done that.
Find that the virtual presentations are an easier way for those that are presentation hesitant to get involved.
That's a good term. Yes.
Well, it's like the three hosts, Tracy and Angela and I, I'm the least speakery of the three. I don't, I'm not a public speaker. I get really nervous. I am worried that people are judging me on my hair or my makeup or my size or whatever else, and I can't focus on what I'm trying to say. But I've done several virtual ones in the last 18 months, and I like it because, I'm speaking into a void and I don't have people looking at me. I mean, they are, but I can't.
And it drives me crazy because I'm speaking into a void and I can't read the room and like see everyone's reaction to my dad jokes.
Well, you know, when you're in a room and people like have their laptops open and then they're like looking, I'm like, are they playing solitaire? What's going on? And so at least with the virtual presentation, if they're playing solitaire, I just don't know.
It's true. One of the best speaking experiences I've had was when the platform that we were using for the event said, you know, because of the way it was coded and created, if you're sharing your slides, you need to turn your camera off. And I got to speak without having to think about my face at all. No, I knew no one was looking at me because they couldn't. And I don't have an inside face. My face has no inside voice. It is often very loud and I have lots of emotions on it all the time. So being able to go through a presentation without having to expend that little bit of extra energy was really nice.
And I think that is a very uniquely female thing to be worried about when you're presenting, mm-hmm. is, you know, all these other external things that are unrelated to what you're presenting. And even early on, I think in our podcast, one of my friends contacted me and said, you know, that was not something as a man that he ever thought about when he was presenting. And he did it a lot, like his hair or his looks. He just never figured people were thinking about that when that's like all I'm thinking about in a presentation.
I think about that every time I pack to go to an event. My coworkers, my spouse, my male friends will have like a pair of jeans and three t-shirts and a hoodie for the trip. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to have this for this occasion, this occasion. I feel like there's just a lot more pressure about showing up, looking a specific way, acting a specific way as a female presenting person in tech.
Absolutely.
But also
absolutely.
I'm getting to the point in my life where I just don't care anymore. Like I'm going to do what I want to do because that's the path that I'm on and that's the path that I want to follow.
And has that, I know when you've been working on these speaker, you know, helping people become speakers, is that an issue that's ever been addressed? Like, you know, how not to focus on, you know, think about so much your appearance and all those external mm-hmm. things that are unrelated. And if not, do you think it should be?
Oh, it definitely was touched on. There is so many different things that folks who don't feel comfortable or don't feel qualified to public speak or speak in public or give presentations feel that are holding them back. And being able to say that, you know, if you have the content and we have this group of people behind you who are mentoring you and cheering you on and connecting you with speaking opportunities, you have so much more confidence that those are issues that you're not really thinking about as much anymore. And the more people that we see who look like us, speak like us, dress like us, act like us on stage, the more comfortable the rest of the folks will be, which is why representation matters and why we're trying our best to reach the folks who have the skills, have the knowledge, and just need the support.
Representation is so important. And I think, you know, the push over that I've seen since I started going, since I guess the WordCamp US, the very first one in Philadelphia, the push I've seen from then till now to make sure that there is a representative group of people presenting, I think has been huge.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell if that was because I've gotten more involved in events that are the organizing side of the events, or if it's because that's a shift that our community is making, but I am cheering that on with all of my heart. Let's get as much of a diverse group of people up on stage in front of folks as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I remember thinking when I first started going to WordCamps and everyone had the nerdy t-shirts and I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'm totally gonna, you know, I have those nerdy t-shirts too. And then I was like, I remember back in high school and I want to say, I don't remember. It was like, I think he was an English teacher. I didn't have him for any classes, but he was apparently like a hard ass on people. And one of the things he said, he says, do you want to be unique? Wear a three-piece suit to school. And you're like, you'll stand out then, because everyone's like, oh, I'm gonna look different like everyone else. And so like, I almost kind of like feel like I subconsciously tapped into that. And I was like, you know what? You know, I am going to, you know, I have my nerdy t-shirts. I still wear those at home, but I'm going to bring my button-ups and my bow ties and like stand out that way. And I found that like freeing.
You find the bow tie freeing? Because I find it a little constricting.
I do. I've actually fallen asleep and I've taken a nap in a bow tie. And then I woke up and I was like, I could have taken my bow tie off, but I did.
It's just part of you at this point.
It is. It is part of me.
Exactly. Part of my professional journey and personal journey and, you know, just getting older has led me to the point where I am much more comfortable in my skin than I was 10 years ago. And much more comfortable expressing myself. And 10 years ago, I would have never said that I was, or I guess never defended being a stay-at-home parent as an essential job. I would have said I'm only a, but I have a much more diverse perspective on life at this point than I ever did before. And I definitely credit that to my internet friends. Growing up in the Midwest is a very siloed, protected way to grow up, especially if you're not living in a large city. Having friends all over the world who are living very diverse experiences has educated me to the point where I'm not looking for homogenous. I don't want to fit into a homogenous community. I want a bright and vibrant, different group of people. I want to be one of the weird people. Like I want that for me.
I love that. And I think that's one of the things that, yeah, like if you don't, it can be scary if you're not like, if you're not exposed to that, you know, in early on, or if, like, you're not used to it. So I think that is, I hit my stride, I feel like, probably my mid-30s. By the time I hit my 40s, and I was like, one, I have no filter. I do not have inside faces. And I really don't care. You can just get off my lawn.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that.
It's been a rapid shift. Once I hit 30, I was like, you know what? I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Let's, yep.
It took me a little longer, but 45, I'm here.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, there's a book I've been reading called The Fuck It Diet, and I really enjoy it. And I'm applying it not just to eating, it's applying to all aspects of my life. Fuck it.
What are the details on that?
I have not heard of that particular diet before.
Yeah,
You basically eat food and stop, you know, say fuck it to restricting eating and, you know.
All right.
It's a great diet. I really am liking it.
Revolutionary.
It is revolutionary. Yeah. I highly.
It's similar to my dad's diet. He said he's on a light diet. He says the lights are on. I can eat whatever I want. Dad jokes all day. All day.
Yes. Amazing.
Well, one of the things about you were saying, you know, about WordPress and knowing people or people being everywhere and learning about their experiences is through this community. Now I know people all over the world that I can, you know, if I'm going to be traveling and I'm going to be in a city, you know, hey, let's get together and have a drink. And people want to do that. And it's, I have never had a job before that gave me that kind of opportunities to meet and really make connections with people in so many different places.
One of my favorite WordPress stories isn't even mine, but a number of years ago, my friend Andrea Rennick was traveling through my state and happened to be waylaid in the Detroit area.
And I know the story.
Rebecca Gill was in the area and she said, hey, I know you're stuck at the airport. Do you need anything? Andrea's like, yes, underwear. I need clean clothes. So Rebecca's like, I'll come get you at the airport. We'll go to the store. We'll get you what you need. Like, this is good. And it's a wonderful thought that I could be on a plane, dropped anywhere, and know that I can find someone who has my back. A couple years ago, my spouse was on a plane on the way to LoopConf in Florida when the conference was canceled because of a hurricane. I was like, oh gosh, what is he going to do? He is like being in a hotel during a hurricane on the coast is not like my bucket list, on my bucket list whatsoever. And another one of our friends who lives on the other side of the state sent me a DM on Twitter and was like, hey, if you need me to drive across to Fort Lauderdale and pick him up and bring him back to Tampa, I've got that. I can do that for you. And so knowing that those situations come up and chaos happens because life happens, and we just, it's wonderful to think that we've got people we can connect with anywhere. And if we weren't close friends before, we've got some common things to talk about in WordPress and open source and all those things.
Yeah, I actually, one time, I think I was, I don't remember where I was coming home from. I don't know if it was a WordPress thing or if it was just something else. And like one flight was delayed, so I missed another one. And I was in Philadelphia and they were like, yeah, like you can get a discount at one of these hotels. But I was like, no, I spent all my money to go on this trip. So I guess I'm going to find a quiet place in the airport. And everything had closed, so I literally had chocolate-covered almonds as my dinner, and I found this place where they had all the art, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna like use my shoes as a pillow, and I was tweeting it out, and sure enough, the other Tracy, the one that people think that we're the same person, she lives in Philadelphia, and she's like, and close enough to the airport. She's like, well, I'll just go pick you up. And then we'll, because I was like, I have to be here really back in the early in the morning. She said, that's fine, because I have to, you know, on my way to drop off the kid or whatever. I was like, this is perfect. So I actually had a bed to sleep in.
Yes.
Love it.
We were told so often while growing up, don't talk to strangers. Don't invite strangers to your house. Don't get in a stranger's car. And I remember my parents' reaction to the first time I said, oh, okay, well, we're having internet friends over. And I was like, what do you mean internet friends? You don't know them? I'm like, no, I know them from online. They just have never been to my physical location. I mean, that's a different relationship now. We have internet friends, then we have like internet and real life friends who know where I live. That's different. But so many of the internet friends have become real life friends over time.
I have to tell a story. It's not WordPress related, but it's an internet friend story. Back in college, back in, you know, the early mid 90s, you know,
the 1900s.
Yes, the 1900s. I had my university webpage, right, like on the university server, and I got an email from somebody in Mexico, and he was like, I'm coming to your university to study this summer, and I would love to meet you. And so we emailed back and forth, and his plans changed. He ended up not actually coming to my college, but he did pass through the city I was in, and on a bus. He was on a bus tour. And we met up, he got off the bus, we went to dinner, we hung out, he brought me a gift, and then he went on his way. And I've never seen him again, but it was just, you know, and the internet has made us so much more of a global community than it ever was, than I ever imagined it was going to be.
Yes. I have a very similar story. So I invited the internet to my house for a weekend long party back in, like 2009 or 10 or something like that. So that was with a community that was formed around the app or the website Seismic, which is a video social networking site, which is now defunct. But one thing that I will say, though, because this is, we do have global friends now, and you go, if you just, you know, in case, just I heard from a friend, if you go across border control and they ask like who you're staying with and you say a friend and they say, how did you meet this friend? And you say the internet and chuckle, they don't find that funny.
Okay.
Even to Canada, just saying.
Get with the times, Border Patrol.
Exactly. I'm like, I met her on the internet. Have you met them before? And I was like, oh yeah, we met in Boston when they rolled up like after driving all night and we stayed at the YMCA.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Well, it has been wonderful to talk to you today. And before we go, if you could tell everybody where they can find you online.
Sure. I am on most social medias as @KJ Richards. in WordPress Left the same way, or it might actually be my real name. And yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for being here today. And thanks to our sponsor, Ninja Forms.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.